God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
This is Pastor Larry. It is always a privilege to be able to share with our listeners current events and biblical truths that affect all of us. I am deeply concerned with the way Marxism is gaining in popularity in the United States of America. Millions have been murdered by their own governments in countries like Russia, China, North Korea, Cuba, and others. The world's intellectual elite readily focus on Adolf Hitler's murderous atrocities, but they ignore those of the world's socialists. Mao Zedong has long been admired by academics and leftists across our country. They often march around singing his praises and waving his little red book, quotations from Chairman Mao Zedong. President Barack Obama's communications director, Anita Dunn, in her June 2009 commencement address to St. Andrew's Episcopal High School at Washington National Cathedral, said Mao was one of her heroes. Keep in mind that one does not have to be in favor of death camps or wars of conquest to be a tyrant. The only requirement is that one must believe in the primacy of the state over individual rights. In his book, Death by Government, author R.J. Rummel reports that from 1917 until its collapse, the Soviet Union murdered or caused the death of 61 million people, mostly its own citizens. From 1949 to 1976, Communist China was responsible for the death of as many as 78 million of its own citizens. I wonder how many American voters realize how great the threat of Joe Biden's presidential aspirations really are. He wants to make America, remake America, loves big government, and appeals to those who are suffering from the Trump derangement syndrome. Michael Samuel Smith is our guest for this show and for the next. He's been with us several times before. He's a dear brother. And as you probably know, he's a retired American Airlines pilot. He has a new DVD out. It's pro-American. It's titled American Destiny, 400 Years. And we do know that America is a wonderful, wonderful place. There are forces of darkness trying to destroy this country. But are there parallels between America's early history and ancient Israel's? Join us as we take a trip back in time to discover how America as we know it came to be. And that's what American Destiny 400 Years is all about. Brother Mike, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, to start with, Pastor Larry, thank you so much for having me on the program. It's always been a great honor and a great joy to be with you here.
Well, Brother Mike, I understand you spent about 1 year putting this story together. We know you decided to include the story of Columbus and the story of Jamestown, Virginia. That's more than 400 years ago, and it's all packed into this DVD. What prompted you to include those two stories, and what is this DVD all about?
Well, a very good question. Even though this film is about the 400th anniversary of America's beginning, we included the story of Columbus and Jamestown because they paved the way for the Pilgrims. Of course, they came here in the year 1620, and it paved the way for them to enter the scene, and we will show God had a mighty hand in all of that story. We wanted the listeners to know we consider this film family-friendly for all ages. This is a history of America. And for the most part, most of you have not heard this. It shows parallels with Israel's ancient history in every story, even many historical events that took place in early America that happened on same calendar dates that took place in Israel's. I would be amiss if I didn't give great credit to our producer, Curtis Green. We spent a lot of time, money, and effort this last 12 months to present to America for the very first time a comprehensive, high-definition DVD showing how our great nation came about. It clearly shows the sacrifices of all our forefathers made and demonstrates how, without God's interference in the affairs of man, none of this would have happened. This is a very upbeat, patriotic story, something friends and family will be thrilled to watch.
I know you do a lot of work in Bible typology, and you see lots of parallels. And actually, in this, we'll learn how the geography of America is a type and shadow of the tabernacle, how William Bradford was a type of Joshua, and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a type of Moses. But Brother Mike, Most of us have heard the very basic story of Columbus, but you say much of what we learned in school is not very accurate. Take a moment, if you will, and share some of the highlights of that story.
Since a lot of what we show you concerning Columbus's history are things you've never heard, we did a lot of research on this subject, and we present six different historians who spent many years verifying the facts that are in this DVD. They all concluded Columbus was Jewish. The story we present about Columbus is not hype or fake news. To start with, Columbus, a Jew living in Spain, had to live under the radar because the time this story takes place, all the Jews living in Spain were under persecution. In fact, the day before Columbus and his three ships departed Spain, which was August 2, 1492, all the Jews were faced with convert to Catholicism or lose everything you own, your money and land and possibly your life. We've all heard King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella put up the money for this adventure, but actually none of this is true. We give the names of two men that gave Columbus 17,000 ducats as an interest-free loan to build the three ships. In our DVD, you will see this is the most truthful and detailed story ever written about the Columbus story. This may come as a complete surprise, but Columbus's real name in Spain is Cristobal Colon. In this film, you will actually see his triangular signature, again showing proof he is a Jew. As the three ships set sail across the Atlantic, you will see this is no three-hour tour. It will eventually be a 70-day trip. 3 days before land will be eventually sighted, two of the Pinson brothers meet with Columbus on the open sea. They inform Columbus the sailors are at the end of their rope and might mutiny. This meeting took place on the 18th of Tishri on the Hebrew calendar. It was agreed to with Columbus if land isn't sighted within 3 days, they would turn back to Europe. By the way, it was almost near the end of the 3 days that land was actually sighted. So land was sighted on the 70th day. Number 70 in the Bible represents restoration. On the 71st day, the next morning, Columbus stepped ashore, knelt in the sand, and prayed. After praying, he christened the island as San Salvador, meaning Holy Savior. Did you know Columbus lands in the New World during the Feast of Tabernacles? The details of this are in the film. Much of our Columbus story was researched by Charles Garcia, probably one of the most knowledgeable persons in the world about this subject. So that's our Columbus story.
Yes, you gave me a little printout, Was Columbus Secretly a Jew, by Charles Garcia. Wow, it's an amazing thing. I just the chronology there, how the delay was deliberate so that it would be on that day. But Brother Mike, about 150 years after Columbus sails to the New World, England sends three ships to Jamestown, Virginia. You say in the film, the date they land on the shore of Virginia has a parallel to Israel's history. You also state that there's a real love story here, and it too has a connection with Israel. Tell us all about that.
Well, the Jamestown story begins with King James authorizing the Virginia Company to sail to America to establish a fort on the East Coast. This endeavor was purely a business adventure. It wasn't seeking religious freedom like the Pilgrims 13 years later. As the ships arrived at the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay, at what is called today Cape Henry, they stepped ashore on the sand, and under the authority of the king, they planted a cross in the sand and declared this land for Jesus Christ. They had no idea this land was 3,000 miles wide, but God did. So what day did they land on the shore? Well, they landed on the 14th of May, 1607, the same calendar day Israel became a country, May 14th, 1948. We mentioned in our DVD there's a real love story attached to this Jamestown story. It will deal later with a beautiful Native American Indian girl. You know her as Pocahontas. How many Native Americans knew Pocahontas was America's first princess? You've got to ask, Brother Mike, how do you know Pocahontas was beautiful? Well, in our film, we provided an oil painting of her while living in England many years ago. That's how we know what she looked like. You're going to get the real scoop on the real Pocahontas in this film. So to all the Native Americans listening, there's a gold mine of information about America's first princess that you have never heard. You will learn something also about Captain John Smith in the story, but Pocahontas doesn't marry him. She marries John Rolfe. They fall madly in love, wish to get married, and they want to do the right thing. The city fathers tell John Rolfe if they wish to get married, Pocahontas will have to get baptized, become a Christian, and take on a Christian name. And by the way, she agrees to do that. What Christian name does she take on? Well, actually, it's Rebecca. In Israel's ancient history, Isaac marries Rebecca. It's actually the Jews' first Jewish wedding, since Abraham and Sarah were not born Jews. So America's first cross-cultural marriage, the first princess, is Pocahontas, or Rebecca, just like Israel's. Later, Pocahontas goes to England with John Rolfe. She is such a hit over there, she has an audience with the Queen of England and becomes very famous. Just another parallel with Israel's past.
Well, that's absolutely amazing, and I think it's very encouraging to listeners, especially today when America's godly history and wonderful founding is just being trashed left and right. So this is a great service. Well, Brother Mike, this may be a little out of chronological order in your DVD, but because of our limited time, you made the claim that there's a parallel to Moses in the Bible and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Now, this I've got to hear, Brother Mike, so take a moment and unpack that for us.
To begin this story, we have to go back to 3,500 years ago to the story of Moses. We all know his Hebrew mother placed him in an ark or basket with the intent maybe someone in Pharaoh's court will have compassion and take him in. It was during this time all the male Jewish babies were aborted or thrown into the Nile River after birth because the Pharaoh felt the Jews would outnumber them. And with no Jewish males, the Hebrew population would die off. We know the Pharaoh's daughter found baby Moses in a floating basket and took him in as her own child. The Holy Spirit was so involved in this story, the Pharaoh's daughter hired Moses' real mother to nurse him as a baby growing up in the palace. But where did Moses grow up? And where was the palace located? It was in Memphis, Memphis, Egypt. There's a river there, the Nile, the longest river in the world, 4,162 miles long. So let's fast forward with Moses, where he will lead the Israelites out of Egypt to the Promised Land. We all know it will take a journey of 40 years to get to the Promised Land. Because of Moses smiting a rock twice instead of speaking to it to get water in the wilderness, God told Moses he would not be permitted to enter the Promised Land. However, God permitted Moses to go to a mountaintop and look into the Promised Land. By the way, Moses had a right-hand man. His name was Aaron, and if you ever wanted to have an audience with Moses, you had to go through his right-hand man. Now, what on earth could that have with a connection with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? Well, if you go online and ask what age Dr. King died, you will see it says 39 years old. But if you add the 9 months in his mother's womb, it's 40 years old. And that's how God counts people's age. By the way, Dr. King had a right-hand man too, and his name was Reverend Ralph Abernathy, and you had to go through him to see Dr. King as well. We know Dr. King was assassinated on April 4th, 1968, but I want to go back the night before he died on April 3rd, which was the night before. It was his last sermon in a Baptist church. By the way, this was all taped, and it's a matter of public record. He was very emotional that night. You could see sweat coming off of his face. This is what he said. Dr. King said, "I've been to the mountaintop, and I've looked into the Promised Land, but I might not make it there with you." Where did Dr. King give his sermon, and where did he die? He died in Memphis. Memphis, Tennessee. There's a river there, the Mississippi River, the longest river in America. So you see, there is a type of Moses in Dr. King's story. So there really is an American civil rights story that parallels Israel's civil rights movement. Great relief from persecution came about from both men. Just wanted you to know.
Well, Brother Mike, we only have about a minute and a half, but you did state in your film the first American flag actually wasn't designed by Betsy Ross, but very strong evidence points to a Jewish man by the name of Francis Hopkinson, who was largely responsible for that first design. Tell us a little bit about that, and if true, how did the story get buried and hidden for so long?
Well, most of us have been taught the American flag was designed by Betsy Ross. There's no doubt she sewed a lot of flags together. But did you know there are historians who attribute the design of the first flag to Francis Hopkinson? You might be interested to know he was a Jewish man. He was also a delegate to the Continental Congress from New Jersey and a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He also designed several designing seals for various departments within the U.S. government. He strongly felt he deserved payment for designing the flag, but was denied on the grounds that he was an employee of the government. There were others who helped in the design, especially later designs of the flag, but we feel very strongly Francis Hopkinson played a major part of designing the first flag. We encourage you to do your own research on Francis Hopkinson, and if you dig down deep enough, you'll find there's strong evidence. If it would be a very sad story if all this is true and the story got buried because of his faith.
Amen. Well, Brother Mike, thank you so much for such steady and putting everything together for us. It's great to be an American.
Amen. Thank you for having me.
Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how to get this really great and inspirational DVD titled American Destiny 400 Years.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is perfect for the upcoming election. It is the new DVD titled American Destiny 400 Years. You can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $35 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order this exciting DVD on our website at swrc.com. At the end of this DVD is an interview Michael Smith did with Pastor Dan Fisher about the Black Robed Regiment. The Black Robed Regiment is the name given to the pastors and preachers who helped General George Washington win the American Revolution. With that in mind, we are also making available to our listeners the 488-page book by Pastor Dan Fisher titled The Black Robed Regiment. You can have a copy for a gift of $30. Better yet, get both the DVD, American Destiny 400 Years, and the book, The Black Robed Regiment, for a gift of $45. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And our website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Gay rights groups are celebrating a new California law that softens criminal penalties for gay adults who have sex with underage teenagers. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed the controversial bill. This eliminates discrimination against LGBTQ youth in our criminal justice system, State Senator Scott Wiener, the law's author, said.
The law does not legalize pedophilia, but it does give the judge discretion on whether to require that a person register as a sex offender. The law would apply in cases where the victim is between the ages of 14 and 17 years of age. Gay rights groups say the law is designed to treat LGBTQ offenders the same as heterosexual offenders. Quote, "It's shameful that opponents of LGBTQ equality, including Ted Cruz and Donald Trump Jr., have weaponized the bill and the sexual orientation of its sponsor to perpetrate homophobia," the LGBTQ Victory Fund said in a statement.
Fortunately, there was bipartisan opposition. State Representative Lorena Gonzalez is a Democrat and a mom. She said she is disgusted by the new law. She said, "I cannot, in my mind as a mother, understand how sex between a 24-year-old and a 14-year-old could ever be consensual, how it could ever not be a registerable offense. We should never give up on this idea that children should in no way be subject to a predator. Adults have no business having sex with 14-year-olds, gay or straight.
In an updated post on the internet, former congressman from California Steve Baldwin exposes Kamala Harris. I watched an interview with her. She's attractive, animated, and absurd. She stated that she never had children, yet was a mother to her husband's children, and she loved being a mother. She said the children called her Mamala. Anyway, she led her audience to believe that she mothered these kids. Steve Baldwin says, I looked her up. She married her husband when the son was in his third year of college and the daughter was in 10th grade, and they actually lived with the biological mother, except for normal visits with the father. So much for motherhood. Right after hearing that, I discovered she was an opportunistic liar. I do remember Kamala Harris. I had just been elected to the state assembly in 1994, and at that time, the ultimate power broker that controlled every aspect of California's state government was the Speaker of the House, Willie Brown. He ran Sacramento like it was his own personal fiefdom and handed out jobs to loyalists and fired people who were disloyal. He broke every ethical law in the book, but was never held to account by anyone. He was married, but openly had mistresses, which he showed off by bringing them to public events. Steve Baldwin continues, at the time I arrived in Sacramento, Willie was seeing a young girl who was in her late 20s. He was in his 60s. She was his mistress. And he showered her with gifts and appointed her to a number of state government jobs. Her name was Kamala Harris. Willie launched her political career because she was having sex with him. The idea that she was an independent woman who worked her way up the political ladder because she worked hard is baloney. It's common knowledge in California that Harris slept her way into powerful political jobs. And now she's running for VP with a man who will be unable to govern due to his lack of mental clarity. In essence, she will function as the President of the United States should the Biden-Harris ticket prevail this November. Her views on guns, taxes, immigration, energy, and the like are far to the left of the average American. But you watch the media and they'll ignore these positions. For example, she believes illegal aliens are eligible for all government services, including education, welfare, health care, you name it. In other words, she does not believe there is a difference between a citizen and a non-citizen. That view alone will cost us billions of dollars if acted upon. Her view of the Constitution is frankly bizarre and dangerous, and she's willing to enact laws restricting our Second Amendment rights even if such laws violate our Constitution. She will be the most radical person to run for vice president in American history. But you don't see any of this on the news. You'll soon witness a massive campaign by the media to deceive you about who she is and what she believes. Don't fall for it. In Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, he says in chapter 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and subject yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. That was written about church leaders, but it's also good advice for us as we pray for those in political power. Let's add this reminder from James 4:7. When you vote, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Many evangelical leaders have praised the signing of the historic Abraham Accords between Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain at the White House recently, marking the third and fourth Arab nations stating intentions to establish full diplomatic relations with Israel. President Donald Trump said, following the signing, that the agreements, quote, mark the dawn of a new Middle East amid decades of division and conflict, close quotes. President Trump also said the signing sets history on a new course and vowed there will be other countries very, very soon that will follow these great leaders.
California evangelist and megachurch pastor Greg Laurie voiced his support for the historic moment in world history. In a tweet, Laurie congratulated Trump and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo for brokering the deal. However, for many Christians, it is difficult to look at major developments in the Middle East without wondering about biblical prophecy. Should we rejoice over the historic peace treaty between Israel and the UAE and Bahrain? Or is this leading to a dangerous, false peace that will only hasten the reign of the Antichrist?
Indeed, there are those Christians who are grieved at President Trump and others who are rejoicing. They are claiming that these evangelicals need to take their heads out of the sand. Every peace plan has failed, and this one will fail too, so they argue. They quote 1 Thessalonians 5:3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape."
While it is true that there is a day coming when the entire world will be united under one leader, the Antichrist, it is also true that peace between people and nations is better than war. Romans 12:18 says, "As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." In Matthew 5:9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God."
Everything in this life is temporary. It is appointed unto men once to die. Does that mean that when we're sick, we shouldn't go to doctors? Does that mean that we should not value good health? When it comes to making national decisions, they must be based on pragmatism more than prophecy. That's because religious believers from all backgrounds have often interpreted prophecy before it unfolds, often wrongly, predicting the end of the world or the coming of Jesus.
There is so much information on this program. If you missed any of it, or if you want to hear it again, just go to our website at swrc.com and click on the Listen tab. Our programs are archived there. Don't forget our special offer today, the new DVD by Michael S. Smith, titled American Destiny, 400 Years, and the book by Pastor Dan Fisher, titled The Black-Robed Regiment. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. If you have any questions or comments, or if you'd like to order any of our materials, you can do so by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. Thanks for being with us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Michael Smith continue this series on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.